Yeah, it's Cooper here with HHC, and
yeah, I'm excited to have Brian Wyman on the podcast
here from the Concession Club. Currently the general manager, been at the club for a couple years now, I believe, a little over a couple years. But Brian, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your golf background.
Yeah, thanks, Cooper, for having me. Appreciate jumping on here.
Yeah.
Started back when I was young, from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, up there close to Kohler, and started caddying at a club called Pine Hills Country Club when I was in seventh grade. Did that for a couple of years and ended up at Whistling Straits caddying when I was in college.
Cool.
I worked at Whistling Straits as a caddy for a few years and ended up being an assistant manager in the caddy rank at Whistling, and moved out to Scottsdale, Arizona, and ended up at a place called TPC Scottsdale, and I was at Whisperrock a little bit as well.
Yeah.
2008 came, kind of right in the middle of the housing crisis. I got a call from a guy by the name of George Stavros, who's the vice president of Caddy Master, and he said, let me tell you about a little place called the Concession Golf Club in Sarasota, Florida, and he wanted me to come here, move here sight unseen with my one-month-old baby girl and my wife and take the caddy master job.
Yeah.
So I did. Started here May 8th, 2008 as a caddy master, and well, I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, not to get too off topic here, but caddying at Whistling Straits, I'm sure you have some incredible stories there, but give us just a little bit of insight into, like, what we should expect with the Ryder Cup being there this year.
Ooh, yeah, definitely. You know, I was very disappointed, obviously. I know some people still up there, and they put so much work into getting ready for that Ryder Cup. And, you know, last year it was anticipated, and so much work goes into that.
Yeah.
But looking ahead to this September, you know, if the wind is blowing out on the straits, if it's coming from the north or off the lake, it is a completely different golf course than has been seen in the past in some of those PGA championships. So getting into September, it's a very good possibility. You know, I that course has some teeth that I think is yet to be seen on TV, and I can't wait to see match play out there. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you know, a lot of courses, and, you know, again, kind of different time periods throughout the year where you see wind pick up at different tracks, and really separates the field a little bit, and you can kind of tell, like, who's hitting it well and who's not, who's used to playing in a lot of wind, and who hasn't done that before. So yeah, that'll be fantastic. So yeah, you talked a little bit about getting out to Concession, started out as membership director there, like you said. How did you end up kind of making the move from membership director to GM?
Yeah, you know, I was caddy master for 10 years here, and then I kind of transitioned into the membership director role, which was a pretty easy transition.
Yeah.
You know, I knew everything about the place. Like, any question that anybody had for me, you know, I didn't have to go find it. That was a very easy transition into membership director, and I did that. That was like September of 2018. You know, worked as membership director until January of 2020, which it, you know, our current GM, he wasn't here very long. He just wasn't working out. I've known our current owner for quite a long time, and, you know, he came to me and, you know, asked me if I'd be interested. He wanted to move me from membership director to the GM role. And lo and behold, you know, COVID hit not too long after that. And next thing I know, we're hosting a WGC. So, you know, last 14, 15 months has been a little bit of a whirlwind in the position, but I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, for those that don't know a lot about the Concession Club and, you know, maybe just watch part of the WGC, tell us about the club in general.
Yeah, so, you know, the Concession Golf Club, I think, was a little bit of a hidden gem until late February. You know, we're on the west coast of Florida, just outside of Sarasota and Bradenton. This area is rapidly growing. When I first started out here, we were out kind of in the middle of nowhere, but now everything's kind of come around us. But, you know, we're a golf club. We're a golf, and really good food. Sit on about 520 acres, which in Florida is an anomaly. You know, there's no houses on the golf course. We have some lodging on property for our members. We have about 300 members right now, and we actually just went on a wait list April 1st for the first time in club history. So all that's very exciting. But, you know, for the golf purist, anybody that really enjoys the game and is at a club for the game, you know, it's tough to beat concession.
Yeah, no kidding. And 300, at least in my opinion, is like such a perfect number for membership. You know, you get a lot of clubs out there, especially in the last year or so, that, you know, have had such a big golf boom. And for you all to be able to kind of cap it there and keep it in that, and obviously give members an opportunity to enjoy the course at, you know, a really solid number, I think is fantastic.
Yeah, and even better, 150 of those are local.
Yeah.
And the rest are national members. So, you know, on a non-COVID year, our national members can really only use the property 28 days out of the year. So that 300 even feels a little bit smaller, which is nice for the members that are here.
Definitely. Well, tell us, you know, some of your favorite holes on the course.
That's a good question. Well, you know, number 8 is kind of our iconic hole. I don't know if you remember. Yep. From the broadcast, short par 4, kind of green surrounded by water. It almost has a little bit of an Augusta-esque feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, players hit a long iron to hybrid off the tee. It's all about position to, a tough, demanding second shot. You know, that hole for the average player can really make or break your front nine. Just such a good golf hole. And then if you move forward a few to hole number 12, it's a short, drivable par 4, which is a total risk reward hole. You miss the green at all, you're in a bunker looking at probably a double. But if you hit the green, obviously, you know, you got to putt at a 2, or you can hit an 8-iron off the tee and have a sandwich into the green. So that hole's fun. That's one of my favorites. Just all around a good golf hole. Love the short par 4.
Yeah.
And then, you know, probably my favorite par 5 on the golf course is hole number 17.
Yeah.
Just a really pretty hole. Good, you know, it's coming into the finish. You can get there in 2, but if you don't hit a good drive, or if you hit a wayward second, it can also, you can put a big number on it. So, no, you know, but overall, the golf course from 1 to 18, just, you know, it's always something different. And it's, as a member playing out here, it really forces you to be creative, and it just never gets boring.
Yeah, and I loved watching it on TV. I thought it showed really, really well. And the par fives in particular, I think, were all really fantastic. But the finishing holes in particular, for me, I really enjoyed. You know, 16, obviously, the risk-reward, you know, kind of shorter par 4. I think we saw guys like Scottie Scheffler hit it in the water on Sunday, trying to get, you know, shorter approach into 16. And then 17, you know, tougher par 5. Like you just mentioned, and then 18 obviously has a ton of defense with bunkers kind of surrounding most of the green. So, yeah, I loved kind of watching coming down the stretch and Colin kind of thinking his way through a lot of those particular holes as well.
Yeah, it's funny. During the broadcast, you know, one of our members, Paul Azinger, was obviously – he was on NBC for the week, and he had sent a text pretty much saying, you know, best made for TV golf course on the circuit right now. So many birdies, but also so many doubles out there.
Yeah.
It definitely, you know, it made for just fun, exciting golf to watch on TV.
Totally. Well, it's a good transition to the WGC in particular. I think the public was made aware of the move to concession, I believe, in January. And then the tournament was obviously late February, starting on the 25th. How far in advance did you all know about hosting the WGC?
Officially, like 45 days.
Okay.
At the 60-day mark, we had a pretty good idea of what was coming at us. You know, there had been some talks, some serious talks leading up to it. But really about 45 days out is when it was completely official and we were moving forward with everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty rare for the tour to kind of make some changes, you know, on like courses in particular without like a pretty good amount of time's notice. What was your immediate reaction when you found out officially?
Yeah, you know, luckily it wasn't, you know, I at least had some days to prepare because the talks were going on for a little while.
Yeah.
But I knew from the beginning of those talks that it was going to be, once it was a definite yes, it was going to be a short runway and we were going to just have to go hard and get to that event. And we did. you know, the it was kind of head down, feet moving. Right when we found out that we were going to have it, our first the first thing that we did was we redid all of our bunkers, believe it or not. We went full on and did a complete bunker project, took all the old sand out, down to the liner, redid some drainage, and redid all the bunkers, because that was probably one of our we didn't have to do that by any means. The PGA Tour didn't require it, but for us, we wanted this golf course. If we're going to do this and put this on national TV, we wanted to put our best foot forward, and we felt, you know, that the one caveat out there of you know, what might make us look a little, you know, not our best foot forward on TV is plugged lies and, you know, the fried eggs in the bunker. And yeah, not that it happened all the time, but we need to make sure that it didn't. So, you know, that was one thing that was very important to us. So we went ahead and did a quick 6-week bunker reno, and they turned out great. So that was kind of the start of it. And from there, you know, it was just the old saying, you can't eat an elephant in one bite. We just started kind of nibbling away at it. And, you know, we did all the F&B out of the club, staffing, volunteering. The volunteers, the PGA Tour took care of, but as far as ticketing, you know, there was fans out here. So there was a lot that went into it from the club standpoint that normally a host venue wouldn't have to worry about.
Yeah,
when you have 1 or 2 years worth of notice.
Yeah. And how long would a bunker renovation typically take?
Well, for like what we did, I'd say they worked pretty fast. We didn't necessarily redo all the drainage, and like the fairway bunkers, we figured out where we thought they were going to hit it, and we kind of concentrated on those areas, the bunkers and the fairways. So, you know, for what we did in the amount of time, it was quick. But we also had a pretty good crew out there, and we would just close a hole, you know, every day or two, and just kind of work from there. So, you know, that's probably realistically maybe would have taken a little bit longer, but luckily we had enough time to be able to fit that in.
Yeah, totally. Well, you mentioned, you know, a lot of the like operations kind of changes or things that you had to do to prepare. You mentioned a little bit of the course. Was there anything else that kind of popped up that you all had to take care of prior to the event?
You know, I think one of the biggest challenges was ticketing. We weren't able to like sell tickets due to the pandemic, but we were able to get them to our membership and our closest friends. And organizing all that in a timely manner with a small pro-am and just trying to be as seamless as possible with the ticketing, that was probably the biggest challenge. And then outside of that, it was just getting extra help. You know, we're a club of 300 members. We don't do, you know, 1,000 people a day. So finding the extra staff, whether it be volunteers on the maintenance side, some temp labor on the F&B, or having a bunch of other golf professionals from across the country come down and help. It really was a team effort, and we couldn't have really pulled it off without those people. So it all came together quick. Weather was amazing, and you know, at the end of the tournament, you look back, I couldn't have asked for a better product.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's funny you mentioned ticketing. I mean, ticketing is such a bear in itself, and I have a little bit of a background in that world too. I worked for the Titans on their ticket operations team here in Nashville for a while, and then actually currently work for a technology ticketing company. And so I totally understand like a lot of the ins and outs, like not only from the setup portion and the logistics portion of ticketing, but also like who gets a comp and who are we, you know, how are we distributing these and what's the best way to get people in the door and that sort of thing. So yeah, that's
right.
You all had to kind of do all of that along with the ticketing. That's a lot for sure.
Yeah. And then we were lucky enough. We had enough time to get some merchandise in, but throw in their little merchandise and figuring out what we want to order and try not to have too much of the product left over. You know, it was kind of a shot in the dark, but tell you what, the PGA Tour couldn't have been better to work with. Megan and the couple Chads, we ended up working very closely with them, and had Ken Tackett here on the rules committee. You know, he was, I think, head rules guy at Augusta this weekend. Ken was amazing. You know, working with that whole crew there, you know, it's they do it every week, and they're so good at what they do, and they really made it's pretty easy on us, because we were for the most part, going at it blind.
Yeah, definitely. Well, was there anything in, you know, the prep portion that kind of surprised you, or anything that you just didn't really think of until it happened?
You know, I think a lot. I knew kind of what went into getting a golf course ready for an event like this. But once, you know, the PGA Tour rules staff got on property, and how meticulous and how, I'm not sure if demanding is the right word, but, you know, it's pretty much their golf course. Yep. And they require, you know, to do some things with a golf course that you probably wouldn't normally do. But, you know, they were very detail orientated, and just how they set the golf course up, and, you know, what, as far as, you know, we played off maps, we were cart path only, you know, really tried to minimize the divots out there. That was a pretty neat process to see on just how much goes into getting the golf course ready.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I mean, what's next for Concession? Any big tournaments coming up or in the works that we should potentially know about?
I mean, I wish I could give you something, but I will say, you know, this isn't the only thing that we're going to host.
Yeah.
The plan is to host something big again in the future, whether that's in the next 2, 3, maybe 10 years. Not quite sure yet, but we're going to keep the bar high, and we're going to go after, you know, some of the bigger events that we think would really fit well here at the club.
Totally. Well, yeah, I mean, from a viewer standpoint, obviously it was fantastic. It sounds like you all really nailed a lot of the not only on course but also off course logistics, and then even kind of reading some of the interviews afterwards from players. I know, like, Abe Anser in particular said he just loved the course and had never played there or been on property. So I think really a lot of the reviews are raving, and so yeah, we'll be looking forward to seeing some big time tournaments there in the future.
Yeah, you know, we're excited, and it was awesome to hear the players say those great words. And, you know, that was our goal, to, you know, want them and the tour to come back.
Totally. Well, Brian, last question for you. When we make it down to Sarasota, you'll join us for a round, right?
Come on down. Let me know.
Perfect. Well, yeah, again, Brian, thank you so much for hanging with us for a few minutes here today. And, yeah, we'll look forward to catching up soon.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll be right back.